Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
I thank God for making it possible for us to gather here this morning. And also, I thank the officiators and the participants of today's worship. Without wasting much of our time, because the time is running faster, so I want us to go get to the points. This is the time we receive the word of exhortation from the word of God. And it is not the wish of God that any man should perish, but to come to repentance so that he may receive the eternal life. Today, my sermon this morning is going to center us of what we have read from our Bible, our reader this morning. I said the wages of sin is death. But my topic is going to be the consequences of sin. That's my topic. Because many people know what sin is, and many does not know the consequences. Because they think that sin has no consequences. They think that sin is inconsequential. Maybe they have seen that there is no instant punishment. Because when you sin, you don't receive the punishment. You will feel that there is no sin, that sin does not exist. Or where we are living, there is no law guiding that principle. Maybe there is strong law, but there is no enforcement to carry out that law. Because there may be a law guiding the environment you are living in, but people that will implement it is no longer there. It's no longer there to implement that law. So that is why some people feel that there is no punishment. That's why people are indulging in sin. Anything that God asks us not to do, He is not trying to protect Himself from any loss, but it's for us not to experience consequences of breaking such law. That is what God, if God does not want us to do this thing, that means that God is not protecting Himself from that law. But for me to make sure that we should not find ourselves in that breaking of that law. For instance, God is not protecting any bottle of wine from being consumed by people. That is not the reason He said we should not drink or we should not be drunk. God does not have any treasure that He is protecting from thieves. And that is not the reason why He said we should not steal. God does not have biological female children that He is trying to protect or being defiled. And that is not the reason He said we should not commit fornication or adultery. You see, the God knows that all these things are there. But that's not the reason why He said that we should not do this, we should not do that. See? Then, a wise man always considers the outcome of any activities he wants to engage himself. He will try to know whether it results to a good thing or it will result to a bad thing. It is only a fool that will say that I don't want to know the outcome that will come out from that, what he's doing. Let us read the Proverbs chapter 3, verse 15. That Proverbs chapter 3, verse 15 says that the way of a fool is always right in his eyes. When you see a fool, his way is always right. The fool don't need their correction because he always wise all the time. That is what the Proverbs 12:15 was telling us now. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:21 says that we should prove all things to know whether it's the right thing. Let us read that passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:21. 1 Thessalonians 5:21.
21,
says all things hold fast to what is good. Verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Yes, you see that in that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:21 said that we should do all things, all good things. You see, only the good things that produce good results. You see, bad things does not produce any good results. It produces bad things. But only the good things produce that good result. That is why he said that we should prove with all things. Whatever you are doing, I have to prove it. To know whether it's good or to know whether it's right or wrong. Because that is the duty of a wise man. A foolish man cannot do such a thing, cannot prove. Because you know that you think that he's always right all the time. So we are going to look at the consequences. What do you mean by this consequence? Consequence is as a result of an action, especially when such result is unpleasant or unwanted. That is the meaning of consequence. Here we discuss it in two aspects. The first one is punishment or reward for committing sin, and the second one is effect or result for committing sin. We are going to discuss these two aspects now. Now, the effect or result of sin, these are the consequences that would be suffered, not only the person that committed the sin, but anybody who shall whether personal or environmental relationship with that sinner. You see, not only that person, is that consequence will be that any person who share that personal or environmental relationship with that sinner. For instance, the consequence of a sin committed by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 verse 24. I want us to read it at your home. When you go home, read it at your leisure time. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 to 24. Everybody in the world today is suffering from those consequences, not because we committed the sin with Adam and Eve, or we were there when they committed the sin. If you look at that Genesis chapter 3 verse 1-24, we will see that God caused the ground because of Adam's sins. If you look at that Genesis 3 verse 1-24, we will see that God caused the ground because of Adam's sin. And because of Adam's sin, God changed the nature of man from immortality to mortality. God rearranged the process of birth by women. You see now that because of we are in the world, Adam did, which God caused because of Adam's sin, because of that sin Adam committed, we are now receiving that consequences. We are still in that nature of God rearranged because of sin of Adam. So that Adam's sin now is what we are receiving now. We are receiving that consequences because of how God caused the ground, how God arranged the nature of man from mortality towards immortality. So, another example is if a man is drunk who spends his income in drinking himself to stupor, his children will suffer that consequence of sin because they themselves are drunk. They desire not of God because they are sharing personal relationship with their father, with his father. For instance, now you are living with your parents, and your parents, you find it that your mother or your father is a drunkard. Then, as long as you are living in that environment, you are sharing that consequences. Because that thing will now make you your future of that children will be jeopardized. The children now will lack parental care because of the father is not taking good care of them. Because all what his father is telling her is drinking. Drinking to a stupor. And you know that when you see a drunkard, he's not with himself. He always behave like animals. Because he's not with his senses. When you see a drunkard, that is why the Bible said that you should give a fool drunk so that you let him drink and sleep and forget his words, his ways. So, in this case, the future of that children may be jeopardized or the children will not receive the parental care as a result of sin of this man. That is the effect of sin somebody has committed. You will see that you are not only the person that you receive that punishment. You are not the only person that you receive that consequences. The people who are living around you will everybody suffer in that consequence. See? That is not only the man himself or the parents, but the people living around you will only suffer that consequence. So when we look at the consequence of sin we are going to commit, we will know that we are not supposed to engage such a sin. We should be from it. Another example is if a man is a thief, or a woman is known for harlotry or unfaithfulness in her marriage, people will not have anything to do with that person, and the children will suffer the results of the sin committed. This is happening both in the church or outside the church. For instance, in the church, when we find a brother or a sister sinning openly, not the deceiving one, everybody may sin and go. But this one is open. Everybody is well known to that sin. The duty of the church is to do what? To discipline that person until that person repents. You see? That's the duty of the church. To discipline that person until that person repents. And the church will not have anything to do with that person until that person comes to the knowledge of God. Until that person repents. So that thing means that, people will not have anything to do with that person. Because that person now is a thief. People know him as a thief. You will not have any communication with a thief. Because when you move with a thief, they will call you a thief. When they are pointing a thief, they will also point at you. Because you are associating with what? With a thief. This is the result of sin that people commit today. And that sin also brings reproach to the parents. It brings reproach to the parents of that home. Then another one we are going to look now is the punishment and the reward for sin. This punishment and reward of sin is the judgment by God or a justice by men as a reward to someone who have engaged in sinful activity or who have committed a crime. In this case, it is only the person that have committed the sin will suffer this alone. See? This punishment and the reward we are talking of is God, the judgment, and the justice of man. It's the God that will judge, and the justice is from the man. When you commit a crime, you are the only one that will suffer it alone. You are not going to suffer it with any other person because of what you have done. Nobody will share that consequences with you. Let us read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. That said that
we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad.
Also, read the second, it says also the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 23. That's what we are reading about the wages of sin, okay?
Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Also, read for me Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 20. Ezekiel.
Ezekiel chapter
18, verse 20.
18, verse 20 reads. It says, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself.
You see, this is talking about the judgment and the reward for sin which a person committed. He will stand alone to receive it if he refuses to repent from the sin or continue to dwell in sin. This is the reward. All these places we have read now is the reward of the consequence of sin someone has committed. Then, the consequence of sin, we will be separated from the God when we continue to engage in sinful activities. That is the spiritual death. Because death means separation. That is the consequence that we will be separated from God because of that sinful activities. That is spiritual death, because death means separation. When the body is separated from the spirit, that is when death will occur. If the body is separated from the spirit, death will occur. We are spiritual death when we are separated from God because of our sin. Adam and Eve experienced this kind of death in the Garden of Eden, when God instructed them not to eat that forbidden fruit, that any day they eat it, they shall die. They shall surely die. Even Satan himself don't understand what God is talking about. Satan don't think that it's ordinary physical death, but not knowing that it's a physical, it's a spiritual death. Let us read the Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2.
Verse 1 and 2.
59, 1 and 2.
Behold, the Lord's arm is no short thing that he cannot save, nor is he heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquity has separated you from your God, and sin has hidden his face from you, so that he would not hear.
You see that it is our sin that separated us from God. It is our sin that keeps us away from God. Sin destroys the position and brings reproach to the people. One of the consequences of sin is destruction of dignity and reputation. It will always bring reproach to the people who committed it. That is one of the consequences of sin. It will bring reproach. It will make you to lose your dignity. See, it brings destruction for those that are committed it. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 38 says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach. It is not only a nation that righteousness exalts, but also individual if you are a righteous person. You see, not only a nation, because some people will think that it's a nation that righteousness exalts. But no, but it exalts the individual if you are a righteous person. But if you engage in sin, it will bring a reproach to us. If you continue in sin, it will bring a reproach to us. Sin can destroy your value and your worth. It can make someone to become useless. For instance, if someone commits a crime and are convicted because of that crime, you will see he or she will become useless in the society. Whenever you see that person, they will ask that person's records. And when they see the records that he commits crime, that cannot make him to associate, that will make him not to have anything with the public, it will make him useless. Because when they check that person's record, they will see that he has committed a lot. But if that person repents from his sin, God will make a way for him. Another consequence is untimely death. See, many people don't realize that their life on earth can be shortened if they engage in sinful activity. Let us read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3.
That it may be well with you and you may live long in heaven.
You see, this passage is talking about children. That he said that if a child obeys his parents, his days on earth will be long on earth. But if he disobeys his parents, his days will be shortened. So children should obey his parents so that their days will be long. This is a promise given by God. But if they disobey their parents, their death will be shortened. And that may bring untimely death. If we engage in sexual activity, drunkenness, drug abuse, it will cause transmission of disease and other health issues, we can also lead to untimely death. So we have to flee from all these kinds of sins so that we may live long. It can make us lose many precious things from God. As we are enjoying in this world, that is the gift of God. But sin can make us to lose it entirely. It can make us to lose our loved one. See, maybe somebody died because of sin, because of something we committed, and we love that person. We will not be happy. But sin makes us to lose the loved ones. Adam and Eve lost their position and what they are enjoying in the Garden of Eden because of sin. God gave them the garden where beautiful things, everything, both fruits, animals, that they should enjoy. But because of sin, they lost it. King Saul lost his throne because of his disobedience to God. Let's take that test. Somebody like Saul, the throne, he have to rule the Israelites. But because of disobedience, he lose that throne. Pharaoh disobeyed God. God hardened his heart as a result of sin. You can see that in Exodus chapter 14, verse 4. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 to 12, I want us to read that passage. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 10 to 12.
10 to 12, please. And with all unrighteous deceptions among those who perish, because they did not receive the law of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie.
You see, this is unending punishment in the hellfire. Also, another consequences of sin. This will be the reward for those who refuse to repent till they die or when Christ comes. When we read Revelation chapter 2, verse 21, verse 8, he said that about the second death. He talked about the second death. I want us to read that verse. God must read that verse for me.
Second.
Revelation chapter 21, verse 8.
It says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderer, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have a part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second
death." Yes, that passage is telling us that if those people that engage themselves in such activities, they will receive this consequence, which is the second death. Eternal separation from God. They will be cast into the lake of fire, where there will be torment. Where there will be tormented day and night. see, day and night will be tormented with the what? With the lake of fire. In the lake of fire will be tormented day and night. If you read that also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 8 to 9. If you read it, they shall be punished with everlasting destruction, with the torment in the lake of fire, and cast away from the presence of God. If we continue to dwell in sin, there shall be no sacrifice for sin. Christ is not coming again to offer any sacrifice for atonement of our sin. What we need to do is to repent, or we will be constituent of sin in life or in life to come. So, beloved brethren, the consequence of sin does not mean that God is a wicked God, as some of us think. God is not a wicked God. God is telling us that we should not sin. God is want to make us to know that He is going to prepare a place for us. That why He put all those things is for us to for us to fear Him and keep His commandments, so that we will be able to enjoy what He has put for us. Enjoy the life, enjoy everything, every good things, and enjoy the life to come in paradise. That is why God put all this in. It's not because that God hates us. God did not hate us. But He wants to put all these things for us to have that fear and keep His commandment, so that we will be able to enjoy those life He put in us. Let us read the Romans chapter 1, verse 28.
Romans 1:28, please. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting.
You see? Yeah. It's for those people now, people who refuse to retain God in their knowledge, people who refuse to know the righteousness of God, God will hand them over to a reprobate mind, so that they will continue dwelling in sin. They will continue doing those things that are not right. So they will be prepared for destruction. If you read down verse 29 to 32, you will see the unrighteousness of God being listed there. But I want you to read from 29 to 32.
Verse 29. And they filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, obeying, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them.
Yes. You see that God wants us to abstain from all appearance of evil, that He may be well with us, that we may enjoy the life He has given to us, and the good things He has created for us, and equally live with Him in paradise. This is the mind of God. This is what God wishes us, that we should abstain from sin. If you abstain from sin, all these things God plans for us, we will inherit it. Well, then, this is where I stop. I end my sermon. May God continue to be with us in Christ from Jesus' name.
Everlasting.